95.7 Ben FM Philadelphia presents Her Story, hosted by Kathy Romano. Her Story is a weekly tribute to women making a major difference in the lives of others by telling her story.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Good morning and welcome to Her Story. I'm your host, Kathy Romano. Today's guest is the founder of AP Brand Group, a talent and athlete management company. Alexi Posner started her career in the sports industry, working for several minor league sports teams. In 2016, Alexi founded AP Brand Group and currently works with a number of notable clients. One being former Major League Baseball player Jake Fox, who she recently launched a new clothing line with, The Fox Code. Alexi is here today to tell us all about it. Alexi, thanks for coming by.
Hey, gal. Thanks for having me.
So you're from Philadelphia, right?
Born and raised. Grew up on the main line. Went to Friends Central. This is like my hometown here.
So how did you get started then in the sports industry here in Philly?
So I actually grew up riding horses, and I knew just from riding for years and years and years that I needed to be around athletes as I got older, and that was what my career was going to land in. There's just something about that mentality and that athletic vibe that, you know, I wanted to remain in. So after college, I went to Franklin and Marshall, decided to get into baseball. It was like, oddly enough, the nearest sport that I could equate to horseback riding. I know, it's so bizarre. It was watching Doc Holliday pitch in Philly Stadium, you know, with 45,000 fans, and his ability to just tune out everything around him. I like fell in love with baseball, and there's something about, you know, riding, and the second I'd get on my horse, everything around me would go quiet. And so there was just that mentality game that, I don't know, I know it sounds so weird, but for some reason I got there, and that's what happened.
It worked. That's for you.
So started in sports and right away gravitated towards working with athletes and getting them involved in the community. These athletes that are out there just have such an ability to connect with people in a way that most other professions can't. And so I loved getting the guys out in the community, doing good work and making a difference in the world.
So I have to tell you, I rode horses for a little bit when I was younger. And
so you're like, this is the most bizarre.
Well, yeah, it's kind of bizarre. I'm not going to lie to you. But I mean, it works for you, so that's fine. But I quit after I realized I had to clean their hooves and like... the horseshoes and like scrape them out, because I rode a little bit and we didn't have to do that. But then as I got older, I mean, that was all part of riding the horse. When you brought him back into the stable, you cleaned them, you brushed them, all of that. And I was like, yeah, I don't think I want to do this anymore.
My parents were so supportive and so amazing, but that was the deal. I was in the barn before school started every morning. I was cleaning up after my horses, mucking stalls, doing the whole thing, and had to keep my grades up. And then they were willing to, you know, fund my habit, as they like to call it. So yeah.
Do you still ride?
I don't. I retired at 21, but I'm still involved with Thorncroft, which is a therapeutic horseback riding center out in Malvern, and that fulfills that for me.
Oh, that's cool. So tell me a little bit about that.
So Thorncroft was founded in 1967. It's the oldest therapeutic riding center in the United States, and we work with individuals with both physical and intellectual disabilities, all ages, from two up until I think one of the oldest individuals is in their late 70s, and help them, you know, just get them on horses and help with equine therapy that way.
Wow. I know someone who lost both their legs in Vietnam, and for a few years he had a horse that he was able to ride that was sort of his therapeutic horse. But yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, he rode her for years.
They are doing so much work with PTSD and lots of veterans programs there at Thorncroft too, because there is such a healing nature about horses. And when you're actually on a horse, as you know, like that motion of the horse walking back and forth, it's the same motion that we do as we walk. So if you're a paraplegic or quadriplegic, you can get on the horse and exercise those same muscles that you would while walking on the horse that, you know, you can't obviously do Because of, yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's my tie back into the horses, you know, 7 years after retiring from competition.
Yeah. So then tell me how you decided or how you went about creating your own business.
I worked in minor league sports for 5 years after college. I had an opportunity to go work for a massive NFL agent out in LA, which had always been my dream, was to go into an agency and work with players. I quit my job with the Royals. I packed up my life. I sent it in a pod across the country. And 3 days before my job was supposed to start, I got a text message saying the opportunity was off the table. And so it was like right before my 26th birthday. It was very overwhelming. And so, but you know, I'm a person of faith. And so I looked at this as just a way in which God was giving me a really big kick in the butt. Sometimes, you know, you need the universe to shake you in such a way that it really helps alter your path. And that's how it felt to me. So it felt like it was God's way of saying, hey, do what you've always wanted to do. Be brave. And, you know, if not now, then when? And so my parents were so supportive. They let me move back into their house and they're like, we'll pay for your groceries. Like, give it a shot. Give it your best shot. So, yeah, so started my company. It'll be 3 years officially in September. So we're like a month away from the 3 year anniversary.
So you came back here to start your company.
Yep. Came back here to start my company, moved back in with mom and dad after 10 years of being out on my
That's
own.
Fun.
So overwhelming. But yeah, so just called every single person I'd ever met and just said, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'll work for free. Give me a chance. And just sort of built up a client book that way. And my second client was actually Akbar Bajabiamila, who's the host of American Ninja Warrior. And he took a huge risk on me. And it's almost 3 years together.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, because you do have some pretty notable clients with
Thank
some big
you.
Names. How
Thank
did you.
You
go about signing them?
I think that's how you know you're supposed to be doing what you're doing, is it has not, I don't want to say fallen into my lap, because it's been a lot of hard work, but definitely just, hey, hearsay, meet this person, like Sal Palantonio. We literally sat next to each other on a flight back from Dallas. I went to the Eagles game in Dallas this past fall, and we sat next to each other. And at the end of the flight, he shook my hand and said, you're hired. And I was like, wait, it's 5 o'clock. It was like a 5 a.m. flight. I had no makeup on, hadn't had any coffee. And I was like, wait, excuse me, what? I don't understand. I was not pitching anything here. And yeah, that's how that relationship, just kind of like wild experiences like that. And, you know, then you just work really, really hard for them and knock on wood, stay along. So I work with Akbar, who is just such a gem. He's one of the coolest guys. I know he's been in here a few times.
Yes, we've met a couple of times, and he is nice. Love him.
He's the best. And then Sal Palantonio, I have Ryan Scott, who's a celebrity chef. Lucky enough to work with Jaleel White, who is so cool because I grew up watching him on Family Matters. For those who don't know him, he played Steve Urkel. Shannon Decker is a celebrity fitness trainer and model. So yeah, it's kind of fun. I have a really interesting gamut of all different clients.
How is Jaleel White with people still calling him Urkel?
He is the kindest, most lovely man, but he just gets recognized. I mean, his face is iconic from the 90s. Who is more recognizable than Steve Urkel, right? So, but he's so lovely and stops and takes pictures with everyone. And yeah, he's like the coolest guy and so smart and amazing.
Tell me about Jake Fox.
Right. I don't even name off Jake. I'm going over everyone else and forget
him. We're saving the best for last.
So Fox and I met back in 2012 when I was working for the Lancaster Barnstormers. He like said some smart-lipped comment to me, and I very quickly jabbed right back at him, and he started laughing and said, I like you. Let's be friends. And I was like, okay, cool. Sounds good. And so that's where our friendship developed. And for years and years, we had this concept of starting a line together, and it just finally was like the right place, right time. So we launched a couple of weeks ago.
It's a clothing line.
Yeah, clothing and lifestyle line. Our whole goal, Jake played in the minor leagues and major leagues for 13 years, and he should never have really made it. He's like the short, fat, white guy kind of thing. Like, he's like 5'6", 5'7". I'm not going to say his weight, but like, he's like not, you wouldn't look at him and go, wow, you're a physical specimen and should make it as a big leaguer. But he had this way of working with people and connecting in clubhouses. And as he bounced around and was this sort of minor league rover and major league rover, he created such a following around him. And that was something that really drew me not only to him, but is a personal mission of mine, which is, you know, I feel like so many times we look at the world around us and just want to see differences in people. But really, at the end of the day, we're so much more similar than we are different. And so creating community, creating connection is at the core of what the Fox Code is. Yeah. So we started this. It's an apparel line. We're hopefully starting a podcast soon and we've got some cool guys that have been chatting about it. So that's where we are.
So the clothing line is called the Fox Code.
The Fox Code. It's all made up of all of the different bizarre sayings that he's had throughout his career that have been sort of his little one-liners, little quips that have gotten guys to just... It's been a way to get the best out of people. So he, each one is a foxism that he came up with when he was playing. So it's like foxism number 34, and that's the jersey number he was wearing when he came up with that saying.
And what's his tie to the Phillies organization?
Yeah, so one of the teams that he was with was the Phillies. He played in Reading for quite a while, so the AA affiliate, and then actually was a coach in the Phillies organization. So when he stopped playing, the first coaching job he got was back with the Phillies, and then now is with the Giants organization as a coach in Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah. And where can people find the clothing line?
So if you are interested in checking out more, it's thefox-code.com or on Instagram at thefoxcode, all spelled out.
Are there any plans to expand the clothing line?
Yeah, totally. So we just kind of were like, let's do this. Again, it was one of those things where, you know, when I like you can get stuck so easily in talking about wanting to do something. And finally, we were like, let's just do it. We'll see what happens. And it's been really cool to see all the guys come out of the woodwork. Josh Donaldson, who's been in the big leagues for a long time, Wellington Castillo, like guys that are that Fox has had an impact on in their playing career. And they've come out and they're like, oh my gosh, the Fox code, this, we've been waiting on this. And then they're responding with like one-liners. So we'll eventually be expanding out the brand. We right now have hats, a couple different t-shirts. And then, like I said, launching some sort of a podcast. We're in talks with a few studios right now to see what that might translate to, or if it's some sort of on-air talk show. So
I'm guessing this was something that Jake Fox was known for, was his one-liner.
Totally. Okay. Known for great Foxy story back in 2016. Reese Hoskins, obviously we all know and love Reese. Dylan Cousins, Scott Kingery, they're all in Reading in AA, and Foxy's playing there. Fox is 12 years older than all of them at this point in time. So Reese and Dylan became known as the Bash Bros. They're just crushing it. But everyone, hitting is contagious. So the whole team kind of went through this hitting lull. Fox created a way to solve that, which was came up with a saying called TUTA, like TUTA trees, like meaning hit it out of the park to the trees. And as the team was kind of going through this lull and not hitting, he then decided to get a shrine made for TUTA. They dug a hole out behind home plate and burnt this tree shrine thing. Like he was all full of these antics. They had bats, like Reese broke a bat, stuck it in there, lit it on fire. And it was this like thing they all got together after a game, after the field was empty. So, you know, he became known for these like ways to just rally guys and get guys excited. And yeah, so that's one of the wild Foxy stories.
And that's sort of what the clothing line is doing now too.
Totally. Just rallying people, getting them together, making them smile.
So I worked for the Philadelphia 76ers for a couple of years, and being a female in the sports industry does have its pros and its cons. How was it for you? Did you experience any difficulties being a female in the sports industry?
You know, I had advice given to me back when I was in my freshman year of college from a guy named Lloyd Remick here, who was Zane Sports Management in Philadelphia. I believe he's retired at this point in time. And at that point, he was in his like 70s, you know, an older, like lovely Jewish man. And I asked him that. I said, how do I make it in the sports industry as a young female? And he looked at me and goes, well, you think that players want to talk to you or want to talk to me? Figure out how to use it to your advantage. And I just, for some reason, that stuck with me. Like, you know, not, and he meant it in the most unsexualizing way, but just like, if this is what you've got, this is what you've been given, like use it so that it's not, you don't let it be a disadvantage, use it as an advantage. And that always stuck with me. It was pretty wild. I had some very interesting experiences, especially working so closely with the players and managers, you know, going into clubhouses or going into locker rooms when I worked for a hockey team. Yeah, you see a lot and hear a lot of things. So
I remember walking through the Sixers locker room, and there was one specific player at the time knew that I would be coming through at about the same time every game day. And every time I would walk through, he would just drop his towel.
So nice. You're like, thank you. Thank you for that one.
I mean, at the time I was, you know, young in my late 20s,
right.
And would just laugh it off. But could you imagine if they did that today? Forget it.
Oh my gosh. I know. Right. So look, when I first, my first job working for the Barnstormers, I felt so passionately about working with the players. I went into our GM's office. I was an unpaid intern at this point in time. just graduated from college, trying to make it. I'll sleep under my desk. You just feed me in popcorn. Like, I just want this, you know, opportunity. Went into Kristen Simon's office, who was the first female baseball GM, which is so amazing. And she's a huge inspiration to me. But went into her office and told her what I wanted to do. And she said, okay, you can convince Butch Hobson, who is the manager at this point in time, if you can convince Butch that there's some legitimacy behind you working with the players to get them involved in the community, I'm all for it. So I went down, you know, trucked my way downstairs and like wearing what looks like my mother's clothes because I had no idea how to dress as a professional. So I've got like stilettos on and like an awkward pantsuit from Ann Taylor, yes. Which like 10 years ago was like maybe not the most flattering thing in the world.
Or the Limited. Mine were all from the Limited.
Yes, totally. Right. And I'm like trucking my way on down there and knock on the clubhouse door. Butch comes out and I give him the quick spiel and he kind of looks me up and down. And Butch just like the most weathered baseball. Like old school baseball dip in his mouth. All right, honey, kind of guy. And he goes, okay, honey, you come back tomorrow. You pitch to the players. If one of them wants to work with you, you have my blessing. And I was like, awesome. So next day, like truck my way back down there, this time in a pencil skirt, because obviously that's what needs to happen now. I've got to upgrade. All the guys knew I was going to be there. So walk into the clubhouse, which was like uncharted territory. No female was allowed in there. And they're all sitting around without their shirts on and just towels covering one specific area. And I had to pitch to them for half an hour about why I believed it was important for them to work with me and get involved in the community for free to do charitable work, be good citizens. And
to a bunch of undressed men.
It was unbelievable. One of them sat there, who then ended up becoming a dear friend of mine, and he's actually still playing in the Dodgers organization, but he sat there just flexing his pecs at me. He was like off to my left, and I will always remember that image, and I'm like, you can do anything. Hold it together. I've got this. But he ended up being the one that worked with me, and it was a really awesome experience. And from then on, Butch, after every game, would let me come down to the clubhouse, walk right into his office, and we sat there, and he taught me so much about baseball and about moves that he was doing. And so that was definitely, it was kind of breaking bounds in my own way.
You really went for it.
Just went for it. Gung-ho. I mean, there's been other instances for other teams and other experiences where it has not been that positive. That was awkward, but there was no, you know, deep sexual harassment. And I think that was one of those moments where I used being a female to my advantage. There's been other ones where, yeah, I've had coaches or players, like, I'll go ask for a media quote from them. And they're like, sure, as soon as you get down on your knees. And you're like, okay, hey, go, you know, okay, cool. Sounds good. You know, so there are those. But what's so exciting to me now is this wave that we're in of, like, amazing female empowerment. And I think those stigmas around women in sports are thankfully melting away slowly but surely because of trailblazers that are out there making a difference.
So. Absolutely. So now you're also working on a number of TV shows, and I know that you can't go into detail about all of them, but tell me what you can about the different shows that you're working on.
Yeah. So this has always, storytelling has always been a dream of mine, and I happen to be a binge watcher of Bravo. So I wanted to create something about this area and about the Main Line and met an amazing woman. Her name's Angelou. We both got together for lunch and we're talking and happened to be from the same area. And so came up with this idea about the Main Line in Philadelphia. And so I can't say too much, but we were able to shoot a pilot episode, which is really exciting. Some notable people from the area. I know you know one of them.
I do.
And she's so great. But yeah, so involved in that. And then I have a couple scripted series and unscripted series that I'm just out. I go out to LA every 2 weeks and just pitching to different studios and production companies to get off the ground and get started.
That's great. How do you go about doing that? Are you using your connections that you made when you were out there or when you created your company? Are you meeting new people? Are you just reaching out randomly? How do you make these connections to then be able to take a TV show and try to sell it?
You know, so I have a couple of girls right now that work with me that are co-opers from Drexel. And one of the biggest things that I say to them all the time is, it's like the impression that you leave on people is what really matters at the end of the day. Like if you show up every day and you're kind and you're courteous and you treat people well, that's what sticks with them. Of course, you need to be good at your job too, but the most important thing is just how you show up in this world every day. And so for me, it's been all about just connection. So whenever I get a chance to meet somebody, it's not, hey, what can I get from you and how can I use you as a stepping stone? It's more just how can I create a genuine connection with you? And that has led more to doors just opening up. Selling projects is a very fascinating and very interesting experience. Basically, you come up with the concept, you can cast it, shoot a sizzle, and then you just take that out and start knocking down doors. And I've always been of the mindset of if someone says no, you just haven't ask them the right way. So I just keep asking until I get a yes. Also, a no's not that bad. You just sort of smile and say thank you, maybe send them some flowers and just circle back around in a little bit.
So. I think we would get along so well. So I did the commencement speech for my alma mater, Westchester University, years ago. Mm-hmm. And the whole theme behind my speech was be persistent, but not annoying when trying to get a job, because that's essentially how I got my first job. I called the news director over at NBC 10. I think I called him probably every other week. And then I would go like once a month, and then I would go like once a week. And it was not annoying with what I was saying or what I was doing. I just was persistent. And when I eventually met him, and I did eventually get a job at the station,
that's awesome.
He said, he was like, oh, Kathy Romano, the girl that calls me every week.
So I know. I say be charmingly persistent. You have to be charming about it. You have to have some feel with it, right? If you want it, freaking go get it. And I feel like so many times people get paralyzed in the no's or the negatives, or just keep smiling, keep being nice and kind to the world, and keep going for it until it really is a no.
That's great advice. If people want to get information about you, what's your website?
I'm alexiposner.com, or they can find me on Instagram. My company's page is at AP Brand Group.
And then what about the Fox Code?
Fox Code is thefox-code.com or at the Fox Code on Instagram.
When your shows get purchased and they're on TV, you have to come back and talk about
them. Oh, heck yeah, because it's going to be so good.
I'm really excited. I can't wait to see it. Alexi, thank you so much for coming by today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here again with me this Sunday. If you missed any part of today's interview, or you'd like to check out some of the other Her Story episodes, you can always go to 957benfm.com. You scroll down just a little bit, and you'll see all the Her Story episodes listed right there. I'm Kathy Romano. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957benfm.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.